Hi, guys. I'm Dr. Beal.
And I'm Dr. Chip.
And we are veterinarians. Start over.
And we are father and son.
I'm the older, wiser one.
And I'm the younger, hipper one.
Right. I'm certainly the better looking one.
All right, all right. Well, we are running a veterinary hospital together.
We love hanging out as family together.
And we are best friends. Usually.
Yeah, right, usually. But mostly we have lots of fun together caring for animals.
Well, most of the time it's fun working with you, Dad.
We really do a lot of things together.
That is true. I have pets at home.
And I have pets at home, too. Pets that can be a challenge, both behaviorally and medically. That is why we decided to do a podcast together about the realities of pet care.
Called Vets Talk Pets.
It's a place where we will share tips, tricks, and cutting-edge science about pet care.
And maybe a little family stuff, too.
So if you want help with all things pet care,
join us as Vets Talk Pets.
Here we go. Okay, so here we go this week with the podcast. We're going to be talking about training. Now, wait. It's not what you think. It's something that's really, really important for you to enjoy your dog and your puppy and as it becomes an adult. You want your dog trained. You definitely want your neighbor's dogs trained. You want your relative's dogs trained when they come over to your house. Training is something that we kind of have to convince people to do, and I'm hoping listening to this podcast today will help convince you to get your dog trained. So we're going to talk more about that in the podcast coming up. But first, we've got some cool pet stuff, Discovery of the Week coming with Julie. And I'd also like you to stay tuned to the end of this entire podcast because, boy, at Spring River Veterinary Hospital, we've got some cool stuff happening. At least from a veterinarian's point of view, it's cool when we save an animal or something. So we've got a really cool case of the week coming up. So stay tuned.
Helping you enjoy your pet more. Here is Julie Beal with this week's Cool Pet Stuff Discovery.
All right, here we are back again with Julie, my lovely wife and producer of the Vets Talk Pets podcast. It's so nice sitting across the table from you. Julie, what'd you find for us this week?
Well, this week, you know how I like tech. This one is not high tech at all.
Yeah, but it's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And we sort of stumbled on this. We were looking for something for you for your office. And it's called a pet pad or a lick pad. And what it is, it's made out of silicone, and it has little prongs on it, bumps on it.
I'm not sure. It's got a rough surface.
And what we use it for is we spread peanut butter on it, lay it down either on the exam table, and the dog will lick it, and it will pay attention to the peanut butter and enjoy its visit. We just so happened to get that for you when we got a new puppy.
Rosie.
And so I thought, I've got to give her my first bath. I bet you this lick pad would fit on the side of our shower.
Right on the wall.
Right on the wall. And if I put peanut butter on it, maybe she'd let me give her a shower or a bath.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't done that yet. So I filled it up with peanut butter and wetted it down and put it on the side of the shower wall. And lo and behold, she did not move. She licked that peanut butter the entire time I was giving her a bath. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is such a simple tool, but so helpful.
I really don't think she knew she was getting a bath.
I don't think so either. She just loved it. As a matter of fact, I was showing you and you like took it back into the office.
I said ordered four of them for the exam rooms.
Right. So, and then your groomer.
Yep. She wanted one too.
She wanted one too. So she has one in the grooming parlor. So when your dogs are getting bathed at our grooming parlor, they're licking peanut butter the whole time. But this is really cool.
Their mouths will be very clean. They won't have peanut butter, but they'll have peanut butter breath.
Yeah, that's true. It's really cool. And you can get them in all different kinds of shapes. They come in paw prints. They come in bone shapes. It's called a Easy Lick lick pad for dog washing. It goes under all kinds of names, but you can get it on Amazon, and they're anywhere from about $10 to $15. I highly recommend it. It's just a simple tool that I think you could use it for all kinds of things, for distractions for your pet.
That's what it is, distraction.
I just thought of something. We should put that inside the crate, because right now we put peanut butter in a Kong, but maybe we could work on the crate with that too.
We could probably find a way to attach it to the side and just smear peanut butter on it.
It's really cool. It's not tech, but it is called a lick pad for your dog, and I think it might come in great use for people.
Julie, this segment is actually becoming one of my favorite parts of the podcast because you're so cute on all week long. You're like, look what I found, look what I found. And then you come here and tell people about it. And I think, I'm just really happy to have you here to do it.
Well, that's sweet. I'm always looking for easy ways, easy tips for pets, because sometimes the shoemaker's kids have no shoes.
That's for
sure. If I ask you about our own pet.
I've already planned one of our upcoming podcasts on digging holes. And I noticed out in our backyard, our dog's digging a big hole. What?
Oh, so anyway, I hope that helps somebody out there.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Hey, guys. Welcome back to the Vets Talk Pets podcast. Interesting topic today. We're going to be talking about behavior. Behavior is a big topic.
Honestly, we could do a whole podcast series on behavior.
Right.
I took a whole semester of it in vet school on the scientific side of it, and also throughout my whole education, it was all around behaviors.
Yeah.
I have a feeling this won't be our last behavior podcast.
You know, I kind of think that's probably a good idea. We should actually, instead of having, we'll talk about behavior today, but then in future podcast episodes, we could talk about specific types of behavior problems and dedicate that whole podcast to that.
Yeah.
So today, let's just talk about training.
Okay.
What does that mean, training your dog?
Well, most people think of training as how am I going to get this 8-week-old puppy not to poop and pee in my house?
Exactly.
And to be honest, a lot of that is usually on the pet parents. There will be trainers that can help you with that, but by the time you get your dog to a trainer, usually that issue's worked out.
Yeah, that's true. For me in the exam room, why I would like to see all dogs trained, including my own, who's now 7 months old and in training, is we see these dogs in the exam room as you said, 8-week-old puppies. And the statistics that I have reviewed tell me that 1 year from now, 1 year from then, 30% of those dogs will no longer be in that household, either rehomed or sent to a shelter. And the reason for that is behavior problems. So if we can train these dogs, as you suggest, starting early, I think we can improve that number.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, when we see these puppies when they're 8 weeks old, I want to see them again when they're a year old.
Yeah, I know.
And that's 30% of them we won't.
30%, wow.
That's a big number.
Yeah, that is. So, I believe it, though.
So let's fix that. Let's get these dogs trained. What exactly, if we're going to get them trained, what's that look like?
Well, there are a lot of options out there for a trainer. And to be honest, it's if me as a pet parent, it'd be overwhelming on how to decide on how to pick one. What you need to do is kind of decide what works for your family. Do you want a trainer that uses clicker training?
Yeah.
Do you want a trainer that uses vibrating collars or even shock collars? Some of them use that. Do you want a trainer that uses positive reinforcement only? That's one of the ones I feel most strongly in, is dogs respond long-term behavior-wise to positive reinforcement over anything else. What other kind of trainers are there?
Is there a difference between like puppy training classes where you've got 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 puppies all in a room training as a group versus private training?
There is puppy kindergarten. And usually puppy kindergarten across all trainers is pretty much the same. They're going to really help you with ideas for crate training, sit, stay, your main commands. Now, for behavior reasons, some dogs don't do well with other dogs, so they will have individual sessions. You know, some people have private sessions in their house. There really is so much out there.
You really just have to ask yourself the question, you know, what fits your lifestyle, what fits your personality? And like you said earlier, I agree with you. I mean, I like the positive reinforcement. Whatever I chose would be a positive reinforcement category.
Yeah.
You know, all these options are available and they all have pros and cons. You just have to decide which way you want to go. My dog, Rosie, she's 7 months old now. and we've got her in a training class. She's laying on the floor here during the podcast. If it was video, you could see it. She's pretty cute. And we started her in training in the way we chose to go. And here again, we made that personal choice that we just talked about. We decided to go with private in-home training where the trainer actually comes to our home and does private training. And we take her outside the home to places like Home Depot or Field & Stream, that kind of stuff. It's very individualized and customized. And we interviewed this particular trainer before we even started. So actually what I'm kind of trying to say here is we took it very seriously and we are really happy with the results we're getting. And that worked for us. A group training class in a big group, that will work for other people too. What's the difference between a trainer and a behaviorist?
That's a very good question. My view on a behaviorist is my experience with one in vet school is a veterinarian that went to vet school and then spent 4 years of education after vet school becoming a board-certified animal behaviorist. Now, when I was in vet school, there was only one of those in the whole entire state of Ohio, and she was at Ohio State, and I think her appointment's booked up like 3 months in advance. But I think since then, Ohio State's been doing a good job of training some more students into that. So there, you will see some more of those and to be more readily available throughout the state. There are trainers out there that are certified dog trainers that do a little bit of extra training in animal behavior, but they're not the ones that are, that I view as the gurus on pet behavior, but certainly a lot of them do a great job.
Yeah. They're actually kind of like a specialist. Like we would refer a dog to a specialist for orthopedic surgery. Mm-hmm. We can refer dogs to these behaviorists for more involved behavior problems. Yeah. And actually, I've done that. Have you yet done that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I took a couple rotations with the behaviorist in vet school.
Have you made a referral from the Springboro Veterinary Hospital yet?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. So it's something that's out there for us. So you as clients, hopefully you'll listen to us and we can get these behaviorists involved to take care of the problems.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's kind of an overview of a behavior topic. And like I say, we can go into depth on all kinds of specific behavior problems and what to do about it. And we'll do that again in future podcasts. Anything else that you want to add or anything?
I would like to add, we talked about training in puppy kindergarten, things like that. I want to talk a little bit about socialization, and we could honestly, again, spend a whole podcast on this, but there are a lot of veterinarians out there that will tell their pet parents, do not expose your pet to other pets until after they've had all their vaccinations. And to go back on what you said earlier in the podcast about 30% of dogs being sent to the shelter at 1 year, This is a big reason because dogs need socialization. And if you are isolating them for the first 16, 17 weeks of their life, they're not going to get some of the behaviors they learn from other dogs. So with that being said, I recommend that you socialize your pet with other pets that are known to be socially acceptable, updated on vaccines, and not sick. Now, that doesn't mean take them to the dog park or even to PetSmart, but I think it's imperative that you socialize them because, like you said, more dogs are released to the shelter for behavior problems and not actually illnesses that they get from other dogs. So
right.
That's a bit of advice for when you first get that puppy.
That's actually really good advice. This is the perfect example of why you and I are such a good team, because I've been in practice almost 40 years, and what you just said about socialization is new information to me. I was not taught in vet school 40 years ago. We were like waiting to get them all vaccinated and everything so that they're protected and all that. And the new information come from the Ohio State University College of Veterinary Medicine is what you're talking about. So I'm learning, and I think it's going to be really good for the Springboro Veterinary Hospital and surrounding area clientele and anybody that listens to this podcast to be updated on this current information.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for sharing that. It's pretty cool. And now it's time for our interesting case of the week. Dr. Chip had truly, even to me, a really interesting case this week. So what happened?
Yeah, it was last Tuesday night. I was doing urgent care. I was just finishing up surgery on a dog that had a a dog fight with another dog, so suturing a lot of wounds. And then in walks old, this 9-month-old miniature Australian shepherd, kind of like a farm dog. And it was struggling. It had blood everywhere. The hair was matted. So I really think, okay, this is not good. I got to figure out what's going on. And I got the approval from the owners to go ahead and start the processes of finding out what's wrong, sedate the dog, shave all the wounds. And I started shaving this dog's hair, and I felt like I never stopped. Like, I just kept finding bite wound, laceration after laceration. And every time I think I found them all, I just kept finding them. And there was tears and puncture wounds. And I was worried about, you know, did we puncture the abdomen or the chest? And the whole time in the back of my head, I'm thinking, what could have done something like this? Mm-hmm. And finally, I found them all, and I spent, you know, almost 3 hours in surgery reconstructing all these wounds and putting in drains, and at the same time just hoping and praying, you know, this dog has the strength to fight through this when it wakes up. The dog was in pretty bad shape. I think it was mainly in shock. But after finishing talking to the owners, they live on a farm, and there's known to be a lot of coyotes out there.
Yep.
And I did have the coyote thing in the back of my head, because that is something we're seeing more and more of in our area. We came to the conclusion, like, almost 95% sure this dog fought off a coyote.
Wow.
And how it did that, I don't know, because it had puncture wounds on its neck and its shoulder, its butt, under, and this is too much information, but on its penis, on the prepuce, I had to reconstruct that.
That's a tough spot.
It was tough. It made me think about my dog. Like, we just be careful out there. You don't know. I mean, nature is unforgiving in those type of things, and animals live out there and don't want to give you too much fear, but you need to know about that kind of stuff.
Well, you live in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
Your mom and I live out in the country.
Yeah.
We see
them. Oh, yeah, you guys see them.
We see them and hear them every day.
Yeah.
So it's real.
Yeah. Yeah, and that, I mean, this dog luckily was up to date on vaccines, so that, you know, helped rabies vaccine, so that kind of takes that worry out. But, I mean, just lots of things to think about with that.
That was last Tuesday?
Yeah, it was last Tuesday, and the dog was only 19 pounds, so how it survived,
I don't know.
That's a tough dog.
Yeah.
And I'm still a little concerned about it. It has some recovery to go still.
Oh, yeah. The last, I saw one last year, urgent care, same way, came in. It was almost the identical story.
Mm-hmm.
That dog was from, like, Chillicothe or Washington Courthouse, came all the way to Springboro for urgent care.
Wow.
And I think I saw that dog 4 or 5 or 6 rechecks, just a little crop up of a wound here, and a little, the wound didn't heal good there. It's just, there's not always straightforward, like a spay incision that you expect to heal.
Oh, yeah.
It's there's a lot of follow-up and healing.
Yeah,
do.
And these wild animals, they carry all kinds of nasty bacteria in their mouth, and it's just, yeah.
I saw somebody commenting somewhere about coyotes, and they said, well, I don't have to worry about coyotes because my yard is fenced.
Hmm.
What do you think about that?
That's a good question.
I know that I have seen coyotes out here in the country. We have farm fences. They jump them like a deer.
Wow.
There's no barrier for a coyote at all. I've seen, like, they run in packs.
Yeah, I was going to ask. That was my next question is.
Yeah. Oh, if you see one, there's usually another one.
Yeah. So maybe that's what happened to this dog.
And I see them go over fence, just boom, boom. One after another, like it's effortless. It's just easy. And so, yeah, fences don't feel secure because your dog has a fence or you have a fence. It's not a barrier to a coyote. Thank you for sharing that case. And I think all of our listeners are going to want to maybe hear some follow-up in 2 or 3 or 4 weeks about how that case is doing, because I know that I didn't do it, but by you telling me the story all week at the clinic, I get worried. And I get concerned, and I care for them. And I know our listeners are going to have the same concerns. Mm-hmm. I know our listeners are very compassionate people. That's why they're listening.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe some follow-up on this case would be good. And I think I'll be bold enough to say I know some of my clients are praying for that dog.
Yeah.
And so they're going to want to hear answered prayers.
Yeah, that's great.
Cool. Well, thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, we'll wrap up this podcast now, and thanks a lot for listening, guys.
Yeah, and if you guys enjoyed this podcast, go to springboroughvet.com, look us up there. We're also available on Google Play and iTunes, and we would really appreciate a review on one of those just to kind of help give us feedback on how we're doing, make us more available to pet parents throughout the country, and maybe some ideas on topics.
Cool.
All right.
See you next time.
See you.